We began this study last week talking about what is the church, right? And this study really comes from the idea that, you know, there are a lot of people who are very confused about what the church really is. A lot of people don't really understand church to begin with, okay? They don't know what it is. A lot of people don't know what the church does, okay? And so they don't know why the church is so important, all right? A lot of people, find out here today, don't want to be a part of a church, okay? They're just really not interested for various reasons. One is, we said last week, a lot of people just don't like the idea of organized religion, okay? Then there are those folks who don't like church and the church atmosphere because they look at it and say, well, the church is just full of a bunch of hypocrites. Now, I know that for some people that's just an excuse. But those are reasons why a lot of people don't like being a part of a church or going to a church or what have you. And then there are those folks who just simply don't want to go. Okay? They will say something like this: I believe in God, but I don't need to go to church. I don't need a church. I don't need to be involved in a church. I love Jesus, but I don't go to church. Well, those kinds of things are indications that people that believe those things or say those things really don't understand what the church is. And so that's why we're doing this study, to help us to make sure we understand what is the church and what is it all about. So our study on the church, what we're doing is trying to look at, what does the Bible say about the church? Okay? What is the church according to the Bible? Not what people think it is, but what does the Bible tell us the church is? And what is the church for? And then why should we be a part of the church? Okay? When we understand what the church is, then here's an important thing we will come to know. This is what a lot of people are missing. We'll know that we cannot be a part of Christ and not be a part of His church. You cannot separate the two. And we'll see in our study as we continue on, we've been talking about this in our Sunday morning Bible class, because the church is the body of Christ. All right? So if you want to be part of Christ, you got to be part of His body. All right? So, the question is, what is the church? And this morning, what we're going to do is talk about the kingdom, the church and the kingdom. All right? How are those two connected according to what the Bible teaches? Because, again, here's something a lot of people are kind of confused about. Is the kingdom, is it the church? Is the church the kingdom? What's that whole kingdom thing all about? So, let's take a look at what the Bible tells us about the church and the relationship to the kingdom. So we start out in looking at there's a lot of statements that the Bible makes about using reference to the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. All right, so let's in this lesson, what I'm going to try to do is to define what is the kingdom really all about. All right, so the kingdom of God, we have those statements. We have the kingdom of heaven. Are they the same or are they different? Well, the answer to those two questions is yes. Okay? The answer is yes. They are the same, but yet they are somewhat different. When we understand what the Bible is truly teaching about it, it will make more sense. Our text that was read for us as we began this morning, Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Where he tells us here, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay? Now, John the Baptist was preaching about the coming of the Messiah. He was trying to prepare people for the Messiah's coming. In fact, that's what it says. This is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make his path straight. So John the Baptist is preaching about the coming of the Messiah, preparing people for the coming of the Messiah. At the same time, he's preaching about the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven, he said, is near. All right? Kind of put that over here on the side and hang on to it for just a moment. When Jesus' disciples asked him to teach them how to pray, here is a sample or an example that Jesus gave of how to pray. Not what to pray, specifically say these words all the time, but these ideas and thoughts when you are praying. And notice that he says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Okay, the kingdom of heaven is near. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Those are indications to us that the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, is here on this earth. It exists on this earth. Why else would we be praying, asking for his will to be done and his kingdom to come, his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven? Okay? In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, Jesus, in talking about, teaching about not worrying about everything, and he specifically there talks about not worrying about what we will eat and what we will wear and those kinds of things, our daily needs, all right? And he says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. All what things? The things you will eat, the things you will wear, those are things that we use and have here in our existence now on earth, aren't they? Okay? In Matthew chapter 25, in the picture that he gives of the judgment, here's something a little bit different. Okay? When he tells of the sheep and the goats, and look at what he says. The king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance. What is that inheritance? He says, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Oh, well, wait a minute here now. That's a little bit confusing, isn't it? If the kingdom's already here, and now he's saying, take the kingdom prepared for you since the foundation of the world, that's your inheritance. Well, are they two different kingdoms? No. No, not at all. They're part of all one kingdom. Okay, just being applied and appreciated. Let me use that word and that terminology in two different ways. So the kingdom exists now. Okay? But there's also a part of the kingdom that we will inherit in the judgment. But it's all part of the same kingdom that belongs to God. You see, what we need to understand is that the kingdom is not a physical place. And that's what kind of gets people confused sometimes. That's certainly what confused the Israelites in Jesus' day. Because they were looking for a physical kingdom with physical territorial boundaries, all right? With a physical king sitting on a physical throne. When they heard kingdom and when they thought kingdom, that's what they were looking for. All of the prophets had foretold that the Messiah would come and he would be a king. And some of those prophets even specifically said that the king would sit on David's throne. So their concept of the kingdom was that the Messiah would be the king. He would come and he would drive out the Romans and free them from oppression and reestablish the borders of the kingdom of Israel, and he would reign on David's throne. All physical. And that's one of the reasons, by the way, why they missed accepting Jesus as the Messiah, the coming king, because he was talking about a spiritual kingdom, not a physical kingdom. And they were wanting a physical kingdom and really weren't looking a whole lot for a spiritual kingdom. But the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is not a physical place. All right? It is spiritual in nature. In Acts chapter 1, when Jesus was getting ready to return to heaven, right, his disciples asked him then, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? You see, again, They were still looking for that physical kingdom. Even after hearing all the things that Jesus taught, much about the kingdom, okay, they didn't understand it at that point. And they were still looking for that physical kingdom. Are you at this time? I recognize he's getting ready to leave. Well, what about the kingdom? You haven't restored it yet. Are you going to do it now? Say, they're looking for that physical kingdom. In Luke chapter 17, Luke records a very interesting conversation that Jesus has with the Pharisees about the kingdom. All right, look at what he says. When he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come. In other words, that's their question. When is the kingdom coming? These religious leaders, and again, they're thinking physical. When is the kingdom going to come? And he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. Okay? Nor will they say, see here or see there. So, in other words, Jesus is answering them as saying, it's not a physical place. You can't look on a map somewhere and go, here's the kingdom of God right here. Now, in old Israel, you could look on the map during Saul's time and David's time and the period of the kings. You could look on a map and you could, and the borders of the kingdom were defined. But Jesus is saying, you can't do that with the kingdom of God. You say, you can't say, well, here it is or there it is. Why? He says, the kingdom of God is within you. So if somebody says, well, where is the kingdom? Well, it's inside of you. How can that be? Okay. Well, you'll understand as we go along, hopefully, and understanding more about the nature of this kingdom. But keep in mind, it is not physical. It is a spiritual kingdom. When you understand that the kingdom of God is the realm of God, okay? Wherever God is, that is the kingdom, okay? Then that statement makes more sense, doesn't it? The kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is within you if and only if Christ is reigning on the throne of your heart. If he is, then indeed the kingdom is within you. All right? Jesus, when he was standing in front of Pilate and being tried, and Pilate asked him, are you a king? Because that was one of the accusations that was brought against Jesus. And Jesus replied, my kingdom is not of this world. In other words, it's not a physical kingdom. You say, it is not a kingdom as most people think of a kingdom. In other words, Pilate had nothing to fear about Jesus becoming a king and taking over and getting rid of the Romans. That's not what his kingdom was all about. You say, think about it this way. Satan had more to fear from Jesus being king than Pilate ever did because of the nature of the kingdom. Okay? Now, let's talk about, and understanding this in our study about the church and the kingdom, let's try to make sure we understand how are the two connected. Okay, what is the real relationship, according to the Bible, of the church and the kingdom? All right, because this is an area where a lot of people are confused. And one of the best places to go to really understand that is in Matthew 13, where Jesus talks about the parable of the weeds. And he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. Right? And he tells that parable about the man who sows the seed in his field, and then his enemy comes at night and sows weeds in there. And then his workers go out and they discover that there's weeds growing up with the weed. And what do he want us to do? And he says, just leave it alone. Okay? Just leave it alone. Let the weeds grow up with the weed, and at the harvest, the two will be separated. Well, then, in verse 37, Jesus explains the meaning of this parable, and look what he has to say. The one who sows the good seed, okay, that is the Son of Man. So he's the sower. And the field is the world. And as for the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom. Okay? Meaning or referring to those who belong to Christ. All right? And the tares are the sons of the evil one. All right, so he's making a distinction as to who's who, what part is each one playing in this parable. And those who belong to Christ are, notice he says are, not will be, okay, but are sons of the kingdom. All right? And then, notice that he says here, the harvest is the end of the age. Now, the reason that's important to understand is because he's telling us here the kingdom is already in existence. Okay? The kingdom already exists. It's now. Okay? And the harvest is going to take place when the Lord comes back again, at the end of the age. So the kingdom already exists. It's not something we have to wait for. All right? Everybody with me on that? Okay, the kingdom, but you say, wait a minute, Russ, we saw a few minutes ago, you said something about receiving the inheritance at the judgment. The kingdom prepares the foundation of the world. Yes, that's the eternal part of the kingdom. You say? But right now, the spiritual part of the kingdom already exists, and we are part of it. All right? We need to understand this. The church is not the kingdom, okay? But it is a part of the kingdom. And that's an important distinction here because a lot of people think, they look at it and say, well, the church is the kingdom of God on earth. No, it's not, okay? It is part of the kingdom, but it is not the kingdom. In other words, look at it this way. The kingdom of God is not contained within the boundaries of the church. Okay? But the church is contained within the kingdom. Okay? Here's a little diagram to help to understand that perhaps a little bit. I hope you can see that okay. The large circle represents the domain of the kingdom of God. Okay? And you have Israel, which was a part of God's kingdom, okay? And then you have the church today, which is part of God's kingdom. It is within God's kingdom. In other words, it is part of his domain. So it's part of the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven or of God, think about it this way. Maybe this will help in any kind of misunderstanding or what have you. The kingdom of heaven or God is the rule of God, okay, or the dominion of God. And it is both a present reality, in other words, it's now, and it is also a future hope, all right? So in other words, we can't kind of bottle the kingdom up or wrap it all up in this neat little package that says, here it is, let me give you the kingdom. It doesn't work that way. Think about it in terms of wherever God rules, that's his kingdom. And as I said earlier, if he's ruling in your heart, then that's his kingdom. You say, that's his throne, is your heart. We say, well, but how can that be? Because you got a throne, you got a throne, you got a throne, you got a throne. Yeah. And that's all part of the kingdom. You say, all part of the kingdom because God is ruling. All right? Maybe this will help to understand that a little bit more. Okay? Last week we were talking about the passage in Matthew where Jesus says he gives the keys to the kingdom of heaven to Peter. Okay? So when Jesus gave those keys to Peter, the keys to the kingdom of heaven, all right? Peter used them, as we saw last week, in Acts chapter 2 and in Acts chapter 10, to open the doors of the church, thus giving access to the kingdom through the church. That's really what was happening. Okay? So when Peter opened the doors to the church on the day of Pentecost to the Jews, okay, Acts chapter 2, And then when he opened the doors to the church on at Cornelius's house, Acts chapter 10, think about it in terms of what he was doing was he was opening the doors to the church, which is the access path into the kingdom. All right? So in other words, when one enters into the church, then he enters into the kingdom of God. Because the church, in a sense, acts as doors to the kingdom. That's why Jesus said, I give you the keys to the kingdom. What was he talking about? The church. Okay? He opened the church, opens the door, or is the doorway into the kingdom. So here's an important thing to keep in mind. If one is not part of the church, they can't be in the kingdom. Because the only way to get into the kingdom is through the church. You see, that's the way to access the kingdom, is through the church. All right? Let's talk for just a moment about the subjects of the kingdom. Who are the subjects? Who are the people who belong to the kingdom? And the answer to that is Christians. Those who belong to Christ are already in the kingdom of God. All right? In Colossians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul had this to say. This is a really interesting passage. He says, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves." So that's something that was already happened. Okay? Notice he says, he has rescued us, past tense, and he has brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. So those who have been rescued from darkness, that is those who have been saved by Christ, have been brought into his kingdom. So they already are part of the kingdom. All right? In Romans chapter 14, verses 17 and 18, the kingdom of God, Paul says here, is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Those are things that we, as part of the kingdom, need to be experiencing now. Those are not things he's talking about we have to wait to heaven to be able to enjoy. Okay? So it tells us we're in the kingdom now and we're living in the kingdom, and these are the things that should be a part of our lives. And look at the result that he says. For he who serves Christ in this is well-pleasing to God and approved by men. Well, again, that tells us that the kingdom is going on right now and we're a part of it right now. And as we live in the kingdom, you see, then we are serving Christ and we're pleasing to him and we're also pleasing to others. To men. See, that's not something that is going to be happening in the future, in that kingdom of heaven in eternity, but it's happening now. We are subjects of the kingdom right now, if you belong to Christ. Okay? So here's the question. Is it the kingdom or is it the church? As I said as I started, the answer is yes. You say, it's both. Okay? The church, this is just a reminder to you what I said a moment ago. The church is the point of access or entrance into the kingdom. When one is saved, he is added to the church. All right? That's just all that. That's what the Bible teaches. That when someone is saved, the Lord adds them to the church. Okay? And they gain access to the kingdom. Therefore, and understand this statement, one cannot enter the kingdom without going through the church. So for those who say, well, I don't really need church. I don't need to go to church. I don't need to be part of a church in order to be a Christian, then what they're saying is, I'm not really part of the kingdom because I don't want to be part of church. I don't have a way to get into the kingdom because I'm not part of the church. See? We need to understand and know You cannot have one without the other. You see? So to say I don't need the church is also saying I don't really want to be part of the kingdom. So what the Bible teaches us about the kingdom and the church, you see, is that they go hand in hand. The church is not just, as we talked about last time, this building. It's not the place. Okay? It's the people that belong to Christ. We are the church. And if you belong to Christ, you're part of His body. We'll see that in another part of our study. You belong to part of His body. So again, you can't be part of Christ if you're not part of the church. You can't get into the kingdom without going through the church. All right? So, here's a question for us. You in the church, where do you fit in? Okay? Where do you see yourself in terms of the church and the kingdom? You. Have you given yourself to Christ? Have you been saved? If so, you've been added to the church, thus having access to the kingdom. If you haven't, then you're not only not in the church, but you're not in the kingdom. The great news is you can become a subject of the kingdom right now today if you're not already one. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, see, that's what it means. In the kingdom, He is Lord. And you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then call upon Him as your Lord. Repent of the sin that has separated you from God. And have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism, and you will be added to the church, thus gaining access to the kingdom of God, where He reigns in your life and in your heart. If there's something else that we might be able to do for you this morning, a prayer request that you have, we want to be able to address those. And so all you got to do is come and let me know if that's what you want to do. For those of you who are worshiping with us online this morning, if there's someone out there that has a prayer request that we can help you with, Wesley, you got your phone ready?
Yes.
Okay. Wesley's going to be leading our singing, but you can text him. You got it on vibrate?
Yes.
Okay. He'll have it on vibrate, and after he finishes leading the song, we'll address your prayer request. His number will be on the screen. And if there's someone out there who's not yet a Christian and that you desire to become one today, you can do that. All you got to do is contact us and let us know, and we'll make that happen as soon as is possible with you. Wesley has a song he's chosen for us to use as an invitation. The Lord's invitation is open to all. Let's stand together and sing.